Log Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. On this blessed Thursday, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ. There lies a message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, I'll pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call in to get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, I will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your prayer requests over the air or your comments, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, I will get back to you. Amen. So without further ado, for those of you that are listening, I ask that you would join in with me in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you for another blessed day in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this time that you've made and given unto us. And this chance once again to assemble in Jesus' name. Dear Lord, we humble ourselves today and acknowledge that without you, we can know nothing. So therefore, Lord, we petition you for the wisdom, the understanding, and revelation knowledge we so desperately need. We petition you that your spirit will be with us to reveal to us what we don't know, to show us and point the way, to unveil the scriptures and unfold it before our eyes. So, Lord, we humbly come to you this day, and we thank you that you are the true and living God who maketh good on his word. For you said, where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you will be in the midst. And, Lord, we thank you for being in the midst today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Praise God. God bless all of you that's listening. I want to welcome all of you that are listening to the broadcast far and near, whether you are in this country or in another country. Brother Nate, welcome you to Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. Today, we're starting a new series. It's a new series that's part of history still. And the title of it is The Fourth Century Church, Constantine. The fourth century church, Constantine, okay? And in this series, we're going to look at what was the church facing in the fourth century and who we will look at in this series. So right now, the title, once again, The Fourth Century Church, Constantine. Now, I know many of you may have heard of Constantine, who's a Roman emperor. But I just want to read a little information to you about him, and then I'm going to come back with to speak on this, and especially with the Word of God. Amen. So this Constantine person was called Constantine the Great, who lived from A.D. 280 to 337, so 337. So he lived about 57 years. And was one of Rome's most powerful and successful emperors, and the first to self-identify as a Christian. Now, this is the information I'm reading to you concerning him. He is known for his economic, political, and military achievements, as well as his religious reforms. Medieval writers praise him as the ideal ruler against whom all kings were measured. Over time, his reign was viewed with waning enthusiasm. Historians also begin to debate how committed Constantine was to Christianity or how devoutly he actually followed it. Constantine was influential in Christian history for his personal faith, religious politics, issuing the Edict of Milan, and calling of the Council of Nicaea. Now, I want to stop there for what I'm going to go through on this part one today. This Constantine And as I read to you, and you heard in what I read, that historians are debating on how committed Constantine was to Christianity, or how devoutly he actually followed it. Constantine was referred to as not only a Roman emperor, but a Roman emperor that's supposed to have been a Christian. Now, and upon looking at this, studying and coming across and dealing with Constantine, one of the first things came to me through scripture. I want to go into that with you concerning this Constantine. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. The book of Matthew, chapter 7. The book of Matthew, chapter 7. And I'm going to read verses 15 to verse 20. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to verse 20. And the word of God says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." Okay? "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Now, the reason why this come to me as I was dealing with Constantine, because you have those, as I read to you, historians debating how devout a Christian, how much he really was committed to Christianity, or how devout a Christian he was. And you have even the many of the Roman Catholics defending Constantine and speaking highly of him. Now, this is one thing I want to say to you. Just because people may tell you somebody's a Christian doesn't always mean that they are. Now, I just took a pause because I want that to sink in. If you notice, when I read to you from verse 15 to verse 20, if you notice that there was, if one thing you notice in those verses that Jesus repeated, that he repeated, is when he said, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." And see, as we go on to the series, you will see that for Constantine to be a supposed to have been Christian, some of the stuff he was doing was not of God. Now, Jesus said you should know them by their fruits. Now, understand this. When Jesus says you should know them by their fruits, and then he talks to you by a good tree and an evil tree, okay? If the tree is good, then it's going to bring forth good fruit. But listen to this. The good fruit will glorify Jesus, okay? Now, you say, why are you stressing on that? Because sometimes you can come across people can do what is called good things, but not for the right motive. You understand what I'm saying? When Jesus talks about a good tree bringing forth good fruit, he's talking about that which will come forth from them will glorify Christ. It's not going to glorify themselves. You understand that? The works that come forth, the fruit that come forth from them, that which is done, is going to glorify Christ, okay? Amen. And as we go on to the series, and I read to you about some things that Constantine did, you know, for people to be out where he was a Christian, I don't agree with that. Because, see, listen, Jesus said, beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep clothing. So he did some what would be considered some good things for the Christian. But you got to see the other things he had in place. And then you have to ask yourself this question. Was there a motive behind what he did was good, these good things, which from what I understand from some research, that there was a motive behind that. Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus said you should know them by their fruits. Now, he talks about a tree. Now, we know fruit grows from a tree, and the branch is what the fruit grows on. The vine has to nourish the branch, okay? So whatever comes forth from one, who's if there's of God, it's going to be nourished by Jesus. That's why what comes forth is going to glorify him. If you call yourself a Christian and what coming forth from you doesn't glorify God, hallelujah, then you are not the good tree. You understand what I'm saying? You know, just like back here, two or three years ago, when there was the big thing about Kanye West, and it was a debate between Christians, whether he was a Christian, whether he's not, okay? And personally, I believe that some of us as Christians, the scriptures I just read to you guys, did not take that to heart, what Jesus said. Now remember, it takes time for fruit to grow on the tree. So some things you got to sit back and watch and wait for the fruit to come forth. If what will come forth from him really glorifies Christ, then yeah, most definitely he's one of his. Okay? And don't make it all just the good things. Is the good things, is it glorifying Christ, or is it getting glory to Christ truthfully, or is it glorifying self? Amen. Because there were some things that he even did in this so-called supposed to have been church that he had going on that really had no order. Okay? Amen. But that's on him. We're talking about Constantine here. And once again, here's the thing that goes on with us in the Christian community. We don't take Jesus at his word, what I just read to you. You should know them by their fruits. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times that the Holy Ghost will witness to you instantly right then, a strong witness of the Spirit that, yes, they're sincere heart. Amen. They have accepted me as Lord. Hallelujah. I sense the Holy Ghost behind that, people. I sense the Holy Ghost witnessing to me right now of what I just told you. There's times that he will give a strong confirmation then. But then there are other times where you need to sit back and watch. Amen. Hallelujah. To see what fruit will come forth in their lives. And if when that fruit come forth, does it glorify Jesus? Amen. Does it glorify? Does their nature or character glorify Christ? Okay. Is they call themselves a Christian, but they one of the most low down, dirtiest person you can ever meet? Do deception in the heartbeat. Okay? If there is, that's not the right fruit. That's not glorifying Jesus. And Constantine, there were some things that he did that was very ungodly to be called a so-called called a Christian. And sometimes people will see you do something, quote, good, and they automatically categorize you as a Christian. Just like when you talk to some sinners about receiving Christ as Lord. Now, those of you that have done it, what's one of the things you encounter from the sinner when you are talking about Lord? About the Lord? What do? They give you their resume, don't they? They tell you, say, well, you know, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I don't go out, and I try to do everybody right. Okay, they give you their resume, okay? Because why? Because they're looking at just, quote, their good works. But understand this. People can do good works and still don't glorify Christ. Meant for much for selfish motives. That's why the Lord let us know that our own righteousness is like filthy rags. That's why what we do needs to be seasoned by the Spirit. Now, I'm not telling you not to go do nothing that's good. I'm not telling you that, okay? Hear me on this. But is what coming from you glorifying Jesus? Does it glorify Christ? Because if you are his, the fruit that comes from you is going to glorify him. You know, the Bible in Galatians 5 mentions the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, goodness, faith, which is short for faithfulness. Okay? This represents the nature or character of God. So if that's of the fruit that come out in your life, then you can be of that good tree. But on the other end, that same fifth chapter lists the works of the flesh. And if all what we seeing is debt that come out, that's not the right fruit. Amen. It's just like, for example, when you look at powers, there's the power of God, there's demonic powers. Some people go to psychics, and the psychic will actually tell them something that's true. Sure will. The psychic would tell them, say, hey, and what I mean by that, they know stuff that it happened to you. They say, hey, you was in a car wreck 12 years ago. This happened, blah, 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 blah. And next thing you know, you're looking all buck-eyed, and you just astounded and astonished, and you're marveling, and you're shaking. And the first thing people say is, God had to give that to her or him. But see, if you would notice about psychics, they're not going to lead you. Hear me closely. They're not going to lead you to the true and living God. Because if they were to try to lead you to the true and living God, our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, Satan would pounce them. Okay? So just because the psychic told you your earring is under the refrigerator that you lost 30 years ago, and you go under there and find it, don't mean a thing. Okay? And God said he will let this thing come to pass, Deuteronomy chapter 13, to prove you to see whether you love them. Because, see, these people that operate under the demonic power, you read Deuteronomy 13, it's going to be telling you, hey, let's go worship other gods. Now, they may not come out and say the word other gods, but they're going to have you worshiping other things that they want you to make as their God. They're not going to lead you to the true and living God. So, therefore, that would not be a good tree. That would not be good fruit. Even though you were told the ring is on the refrigerator, you lost 20 years ago, you go under there, look, and boom, it's there. You understand that? Hallelujah. And so Constantine, who was being debated about as being, whether he's a devout Christian, things like that, you know, because basically they looking at it and saying that, hey, he stopped the persecuting of Christians. And for those who've been listening to me on Blog Talk Radio, you know I've been reading to you from the first and third century, the persecution that the Christians were suffering. So they said, well, Constantine was the one that had to stop for the Christians, and had caused and made it enable for Christians to worship God. Okay. But the tie-in was not reported. Okay. A sinner can come up to a Christian and do a good thing. That don't mean that sinner's a saved Christian. You understand that? God had moved on sinners, and sinners have done some stuff for me. That don't mean they were saved. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Don't mean they were saved. Hallelujah. And so in the church, Christian community, I think that we have failed in that area, just like in the early church. Because remember these things I'm sharing with you guys. It wasn't like everybody in the early church stood and didn't accept it. I'm showing you these things because some of the people, it did get them, okay? Did get them. You got some people in the Christian community now, anything can come forth and they don't even check it. They automatically, if it sounds good to them, boom, it's got to be God. It got to be God. If it sounds good to them, it got to be God, okay? You know, I shared with you guys, I think months ago, probably last year, or it may have been when I was on the other broadcast, example of the fruits, knowing about the fruits, and how Brother Kenneth E. Hagin was talking about that's one of the steps you can use to know if something's from God or not. Where he talked about this man that's supposed to be a minister, I think he was supposed to be an evangelist, and I guess people was talking about how he, you know, good, he could preach or whatever, and Brother Hagin went to see him. And here's the thing, Brother Hagin said he was preaching, and he said what he said was true. It was true now, what he said. But Brother Hagin said, but in his spirit, he kept getting this, hold up, wait a minute, red light, what, look out, kind of sensing. And he didn't know at first what it was. And he said the man was speaking and loud and all that, you know, and talking. And what it sounded like what he was saying was good things. But it was just in his spirit he was getting that something is wrong. So they said that this man, the same evangelist, he visited this, he was at this particular church when he preached, and he came out to say something to the people that's without the pastor was around, and he was saying some things that wasn't good. In fact, it was pretty bad. So the people confronted the pastor. And started telling the pastor about this man, say, hey, pastor, this man is, and I'm just going to paraphrase, he's just talking all bad. He's saying some stuff that's ungodly, blah, blah, blah. And the pastor was like, oh, well, you know, he didn't, I don't know if he didn't know what y'all do, because he just, you know, couldn't just, I think what he did, if I'm not mistaken, I think he confronted the evangelist and he said, pastor, now you know it's not true and all that, blah, 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 you know. And so they said one day they had a little meeting. Once again, the pastor went there, and I think one of the sisters took a tape recorder into their meeting. And this evangelist went to talking, and he said, you know what? He said, ain't nothing wrong with lying. It's all right to lie. Now, people, if anybody, there's anybody that get in the Word of God, know that lying is a sin. And when you have somebody telling you it's okay to lie, ain't nothing wrong with lying, that's the wrong fruit. And so they let the pastor hear. He found out, hey, stop that man from coming. You know, I think he talked to the man. The man finally admitted, hey, you know, ain't nothing wrong with a little lying. Well, if you got somebody telling you ain't nothing wrong with a little lying, and then they call themselves prophesying and stuff like that, would you listen to them? Would you listen? See, Jesus said you will know them by their fruits. And I'm here to tell you like this. The closer you get to Christ, the more that even if people speak things that sound good, the Holy Spirit in your spirit will give you that check, hold up, kind of sense. And I know that many times you may not know you might say, you know, this person is really speaking some good things, but it's just something dealing with them. I just can't put my finger on it. You know? Amen. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3. I want to look at something else in dealing with this fruits here. Amen. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 7 to verse 8. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 to verse 8. Now look what the word of God says. But when he, which is John, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Now notice he said, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Okay? Well, what is that telling us? When you come to the Lord, there has to be a showing that you repent. You understand that? When you come to the Lord, there should be a showing of your life. In other words, you should be turned from that evil life to a life of righteousness. Okay? So you got some people claim to be saved, but they still living like they were before they got said that they got saved. Okay? Ain't no change, no change, no beat. Everything's still the same. Well, you ain't bringing forth the right fruit. It ain't glorifying God. You can't be a murderer and then you claiming to be saved but still remain a murderer. You were killing before and you claim to be saved and you're still killing. There has to be evidence to show that you repented. Just like when you get water baptized, one of the things of water baptism is symbolic. It is an outward show of a covenant that you already made. Okay? With who? With Jesus. To do what? You were buried with him. You were raised with him. When you're taken down in the water, that represents you're buried with him. When you're pulled up, that represents you're raised with him. And you have made a covenant that you will serve him to the day you die. Okay? Amen. And it is confirmed, well, it is witnessed to the outward showing through the baptism. Okay? Just like when you get buried, the rings that you put on your finger is the outward show that you are already what? In a covenant with someone concerning marriage. Okay? That's what that shows. So your life has to show that you have truly repented. See, this is where we have to really explain salvation to people. And I have come to understand that salvation, many times in the churches, is not really explained to people. So you have some churches that say the doors of the church are open. And so people get up there and join the church. And yeah, some of them say, well, they're told some things about Christ, but they're not really explain to them about when you come to Jesus, you are stepping into what the Bible calls a newness of life, not the same old life. Old things are passed away and all things have become what? New. Okay? You have to explain to people that, hey, if you was a whoremonger before you got saved, after you got saved, you don't still continue to live that life. There has to be evidence to show that you have repented. Because repentance is not only a change of mind and not only showing remorse, but get this, the third of the three, repentance is to turn away from sin and to the amendment of one's life. That turn away from sin is what people struggle with. Amen. They struggle with because they don't want to turn from that thing. So we have to explain to people concerning repentance and why when it's exercised that the right fruit can come forth. We have to explain it to them, people. Okay? Because many people it is not explained to. Have I been guilty of not explaining? Yes, I have. Thank God for showing me things. And Constantine especially many of the Roman Catholics. Oh, he was a great emperor. He was a Christian. He was this. Okay, why? Because he has stopped the persecution of the Christians, and he did some stuff for Christians. But what was the motives? What was the motive? And what fruits came forth from him? Was there true fruits of living as a Christian coming from him? Was it? Was he truly representing a good tree that was releasing good fruit? Was he truly nourished by the vine, which is Christ? Jesus said in John chapter 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. You can't bear fruit, the right fruit, to glorify me without me. Okay? So I have to nourish you. And if anyone is of God and is being nourished by God, that which comes forth from them is going to glorify God. It's not all about the me-me, okay? It's all about the he-he, which is he is God. Not about the me. So this thing with Constantine, like I said, he did some things. Like I said, we go into part two of this, look in a little more. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. But see, this is something that the fourth century church faced. And this is something that the Christian community is facing today. Constantines coming in and doing things for Christians. And people automatically label, oh, they're a Christian. Let me go deeper. People among the Christian community, oh, they're a Christian. Christians falling out with one another over the Constantines that comes into the community. The Constantines that comes in sheep clothing, but inwardly are raving wolves. The Constantines who does stuff for the Christian, but have a selfish motive or agenda behind what they do. But too many of us as Christians, we're blind. We're blind. Amen. We just don't see it. Amen. We just don't see it. We're blind to the thing. And so, you know, the Constantine said, oh, well, we're doing this. Well, okay. Amen. I want to go to one of the Lord's other books called The Record of the Nephite. And this is a record of the Nephites, the people of God over here. Whom Jesus visited. I know some of you think that he just stayed around in Jerusalem over there. But after his death, burial, and resurrection, he did visit. He had people over here on this continent called the Nephites. And he visited them. And I want to read to you what he said unto them as he came to visit them and teach them. He says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You should know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now you may be saying, hey, didn't you just read that from the Bible? Yes. Well, wait a minute, that come, no. The same Jesus that told his people over there, from what we see in the Bible, came and told his people the same thing over here. I wonder why sometimes as people, we think that Christ, what he tells one that he can't tell another. Wonder why we, you know, some of us in the Christian community, we just have this kind of thinking, okay? Because some of us think that we're the only one. Some of us think that Christ just speaks in a geographical area, that he won't speak nowhere else, like he just confined to America, and that he can't speak to people over there in Sudan or over there in Africa. You know, that's how we act. So when it comes to the Bible, because most people only know the Bible, which I understand that. At one time, I only knew the Bible. So So they're thinking, oh, the Bible's the only book. And so since Jesus only spoke to the people over there in Jerusalem, that's all it was. So now when you read another one of God's books that come forth, where Jesus had people over here called the Nephites, who was also of the house of Israel, who was of the house of Joseph, okay? And Jesus spoke the same thing to them here like he spoke to the people in Jerusalem. Some people can't fathom that. It just hit their mind, and all kinds of roadblocks come up and everything that they can't think of. They say, I don't believe that. Okay, well, how come you can't? Is my God forgetful? You mean the Lord can tell you that it's his will to heal you and to heal all that come to him? But if he see me in another place way off from you, that he gets to have problems with his memory and he can't tell me the same thing? Why is that so? I tell you what, it's not so, okay? That's men thinking. So Jesus speaks the same thing to the Nephites over here that he spoke to his people over there in Jerusalem. Beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep clothing. He said, beware of it. Beware of them. Amen. And he goes on to say, once again, wherefore ye should know them by their fruits. Now, this is what I've learned from the Lord. Whenever you find God repeating something to you, within a couple verses on that, two or three times repeat, he's trying to really get a point over to us when he's repeated. Because God just don't repeat himself just to hear himself talk. That ain't what, he don't just do that. He's not a God that operates in vain. If I don't care if God showed you something in a dream. If he gave you a message in a dream, and you getting this message more than one time, that's one of the things you could take for this dream, is that he really trying to get this point over to you through this message. He really wants you to really pay attention to this thing. And so when he said you should know them by their fruits, really pay attention to this. And I believe personally that there were some, and in the 4th century church in that time, did not pay attention to this scripture. And Constantine was able to get people. Didn't get everybody. And once again, like I told you, when I give you this history, I'm not saying every single body in the church per se gave into this deception. There was some that still stood, but there was some that did accept it. And it caused a problems in the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, this Constantine, who, once again, says historians are debating how faithful or dedicated was he to Christianity and how devout he was, okay? Well, when you got the information on him about what he did after his so-called, and hopefully we'll get into that, what he called that was given to him as a symbol, and this symbol that was given to him, gave him a message talking about he was going to win this war, and he did. It's just amazing that there's no other accounts of, quote, Christ visiting him, telling him to accept him as Lord. Now, we know from the Old Testament, the Lord can even give those that is not of his people things. Just like one of the perfect example is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a heathen, okay? He was a heathen. Worship other gods. But guess what? The Lord gave him a dream about today. I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the time we're living in. Go back and read for yourself in the book of Daniel. Daniel even told him, say, hey, king, what you dream is about the last days. Okay? Amen. But see, when you look today, evil has seen where it's been easily able to infiltrate the Christian community. to easily come mingle. Listen, a lot of these sinners know the only thing they have to do is say a couple of sweet nothings into the ears of the Christians. They can tell us, hey, you know, my grandmama was a devout Christian for 45 years, and she prayed for me when she was on her knees, and she cried for me. And so what happened? When they tell it to the Christian, and sobbing, well, you just come on. The Lord loves you. You know which the Lord does. But they automatically accept them then, and then put the title brother or sister to them. Amen. Now, I'm just going by the word, people. See, some people don't want you to speak on this, about this, because they say, well, you don't supposed to judge, Brother Nate. Well, I'm just coming with, Jesus told us that this is how we can tell with something from you or not. What do you mean we're not to judge? If I judge according to my flesh, that's different. But see, he said, you should know them by their fruits. Why would Jesus tell that? Jesus is not raising a bunch of naive children. Do we understand that? It's sad that even the Christian community to me is starting to think like the sinner, like Christians supposed to be just a bunch of dummies. I mean, straight out. You got a lot of Christians. That's what, I mean, well, sinners, for example. You got a lot of sinners. That's what they think about a Christian. You're supposed to be dumb and stupid, don't know nothing. If some of them find out you know what a start is on the car, man, you have to literally put your own hand over their mouth. They just be shocked. You know what a start is? You know, they think that, you know, Christians just supposed to be dumb. And the sad thing about it, it seemed like that kind of thinking has crept along the Christians. So now you got some Christians, they just won't, they don't search up hardly too much of nothing. Go through life and always talking about, you know, the Lord got me. He's got everything handled. Like, we don't have no responsibility at all. Well, I'm going to see how far that takes. Amen. So, the Lord is not raising a bunch of naive children. Okay? That's why he said, by your fruit, by their fruits, you should know them. So, he actually gave us something to go by to know if one is of God or not. And so you got some Christians, they don't want you to talk on this subject here because they're so quick to say you're judging. No, I'm doing what the scripture said. Amen. And you should know them by their fruits. Amazing, ain't it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to read one more verse here, and this coming out of the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord Jesus Christ that he has sent through his angel messenger to Elijah from 1927 to 1994 thus far. I want to read out of what is called the 31st message where the angel came October the 4th, 1937. So in your private prayer life, hey, you can take that date, go for Jesus, say, hey, Lord Jesus, did you send an angel with a message October 4th, 1937. Now, I'm going to read one of these verses out of here, and this is called the ninth verse. And this is what the Lord had his angel to tell us. He said, ye that name my name, give thanks unto your master. In so doing, I will bless you that you will be a blessing and bless others. Let my spirit rule your lives. Be ye long-suffering, be not as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Be filled with charity. Charity is the God kind of love. And let peace rule your minds and your lives. The fire of joy shall burn within you. Yea, the Lord will walk and talk with them or with those that keep his law in his fullness. Seek not the praise of men. Be not heady nor high-minded. Seek to do good. A good tree. A good tree cannot bear corrupt fruit, nor a corrupt tree good fruit. Did you hear that? Now, he says here, Seek not the praise of men. Seek not the praise of men. Because when good fruit come from you, the fruit that is of God and nourished by Christ is not going to seek the praise of men. Amen? It's not going to seek the praise of men. Amen. And see, we have to take these things and measure up and deal with people who are supposed to be called Christians and see, does the right fruit come forth from the right tree? Amen. Hallelujah. You can say amen, old me. It's up to you. But that's the truth. Hallelujah. If it's good fruit, it is going to glorify Jesus. If you're not sure, remember you should know about that truth. Sit back and watch. There's nothing wrong with you saying, hey, I'm not sure, but I'm just going to do what Jesus said. I'm going to sit and watch and see what fruit come forth. And see, here's the thing about the devil. The devil is a deceiver, and he loves to throw up disguises. He may disguise himself in something good or disguise himself in something that would try to do in front of others good. But he cannot hold that kind of weight long. Because why? It is not in his nature. It is not in Satan's nature to do what God calls good. Okay? So when he said a good tree bring forth good fruit, the good fruit, especially being what God calls good, okay? That's another thing we need to remember, because you'll find that some things people may call good, in the sight of God, it is not good. Just like vengeance. If one said, hey, I'm going to do to him like he did to me, well, there are people out there who may look at it and say, good for him. You should do it. Good for him. But that kind of good is not God's good, because the Lord said what? Vengeance is mine. So that's what I'm saying on this right here, people. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for the blessed word of the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for Jesus, because he's worthy to be praised and be glorified, people. He's worthy to be praised, and he's worthy to be glorified. So remember the word of the Lord, and you should know them by their fruit. Please keep that in mind. We all got to remember it, because, like I said, there's a lot of infiltrating going on among the Christian community. There are sinners infiltrating, and they're able to infiltrate because they're doing these so-called, quote, nice, good works. And the Christian community is not really standing on the word what Jesus said. Because, see, many of these sinners are doing it so they can get praise of the Christian community. I remember hearing one particular guy who was talking about the gospel music world and why these sinners are getting together with these supposed to be Christians. One of the things he said, that the sinners are trying to validate themselves through that Christian, because they know that the type of music that they're making is demonic and can cause many to be on the path to hell. So they need something to validate what they're doing, so they'll go to the Christian and hook up with the Christian, okay? And see, the Christian, and see, once again, the sinner man looks and scope things out, look at certain Christians and know if they can drop a tearjerker on them, then they got them. They got him. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we humble ourselves on this day again, and we're grateful, Lord, for the word of the Lord. Father, we ask today that you will bless us as we go off this year and keep us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for such an opportunity as this to come with the very word of God. Pray that every heart, every soul that was tuned in to this broadcast, that they have heard the voice of the Lord, that your spirit is touching them right now. So, Lord, I give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for all you listening. Once again, this is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Eliza message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.